Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, you'll notice we're going to read several passages this morning, and we're going to do that because I want you to see the continuity of this commandment throughout the entire Bible, at the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and close to the end of the Bible. You know, we have been sharing the pulpit through this series throughout the summer. And if I could pull the veil back a little bit and talk about the kinds of things ministers talk about, we have been very convicted by this series. To the point of saying, do you want to do this one this week? I don't want to do this one. I don't live up to this. I feel like a hypocrite. But what a blessing it's been to us and hopefully to you as God continues to teach us and transform us. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs 12, 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then from Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's take on this commandment, Paul's interpretation, the Apostle Paul's interpretation of this commandment. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? You all know it, and most of you are smiling. Is that true? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? The old nursery rhyme. What has the longest impact? The eternal impact? A broken bone or a broken word? A twisted ankle or a twisted testimony? A fractured shoulder or a fractured relationship because of a lie? I have an interpretation, maybe a new version of this nursery rhyme. Here it is. I'm revealing it today for the first time, just to you. Sticks and stones can only break my bones, but words can pollute my soul, destroy my relationships, break my heart, devastate my family, and divide my entire community. I know it doesn't rhyme, but it works. And I think it's biblical. I think it's true. Have you ever been the victim of false testimony in a formal setting? Or victim of false testimony in an informal setting? Either way. Now stay with me. I'm about to say something. I can remember the time when I was... Stay with me. I can remember the time when I was arrested. It's true. I was in Dallas. I was in my late teens. I was driving down the road. And all of a sudden, behind me, the cherries are spinning. not Bing cherries, but cherries on a trooper's car. And I was being pulled over, and they pulled me out of my car, and they frisked me, and they handcuffed me, and they put me in the back of the trooper's car. And what's going on? This car has been reported stolen. Well, this is my car. No, this is a stolen car. No, you're arresting me for stealing my own car? We'll have to take you downtown, son. Now, it ended up being just a terrible confusion and mistake. But I will never forget being arrested for stealing my own car. I felt so helpless, so violated. I was pleading and they weren't listening. You didn't know me back then anyway. I had long hair. I didn't help myself the way I looked at that time in my life. I've gotten better. A little bit, by God's grace. But I suppose we could have made a big deal out of it. I'm just glad they recognized it was a mistake and I got to go home. But it caused a lot of consternation just for me, but for my family. Have you ever aimed, have you personally ever aimed a false testimony or a lie at someone? Not just been the victim, but aimed it at someone. Thought about it in advance and just did it. Just lied. Whether in a formal setting or an informal setting. Doesn't turn out well, does it? I think it was actually Martin Luther who coined this very famous phrase, a lie is like a snowball. The longer it goes on, the bigger it gets. Of course, the other great one is, oh, the tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive. Isn't it fascinating that the Lord God frees His people, rescues His people, leads them out. He's going to save the world through His people. He redeems them from slavery. And now He's going to instruct them regarding how to love one another. How to live with one another in love. And He reveals to them the Ten Commandments. And one commandment of all the things that God could have said, one commandment focuses on our lips, our words, what we say, how we speak. Of all the things that He could have commanded, directed, instructed, the focus here on truth-telling, the use of our tongues. And in many ways, I think it's summed up in the passage that we just read, Proverbs 12:18. Rash words are like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Boy, that hits home. Rash words are like sword thrusts. Thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, there's lots of things that we could say about the ninth commandment. I just want to focus in the time that we have this morning on several. You know what this commandment does? It reminds us, first of all, that it is possible for us to talk to one another, to interact with one another, and talk about one another with no truth and no love. It's possible. Secondly, it's very possible for us to speak to one another and about one another with truth, but still no love. Truth, but still no love. And then finally, our goal to which our Lord points us is speaking the truth to one another in love. We have those options. No truth, no love, truth, but still no love, or truth in love. No truth and no love. It's not hard to find, is it? I just finished reading a book about World War II, and I was fascinated in this context of deception and lying and war and darkness and enemies and spies, how the British government, when they started to be bombed at the outset of World War II, came up with a set of posters and plastered them all around London primarily, and they ended up over in the United States. And I was struck by how many of them we still remember and how they, in many ways, sum up what we're talking about this morning. They're still true. And I thought, you know, gosh, maybe it would be, you know, it'd be great if we still had these things around to remind us. Listen to these. Maybe you recognize some of them. Loose lips sink ships. Started in World War II. Careless talk costs lives. Here's another one. The enemy is listening. One more. A careless word, another cross. That one really speaks to us as Christians. But what they're talking about is a grave. A careless word, another cross. You know, your tongue is connected to your heart, and the communication works both ways. Your tongue reveals what's in your heart, according to Scripture, and your tongue guides your heart. Maybe you haven't thought about it that way. It reveals what's in your heart, and it guides your heart. It works both ways. That communication flows back and forth. One commentator puts it this way. There's a very special nexus between the tongue and the central forces of our personality. The tongue and the heart are linked so that the tongue is an accurate index of who we are at the very core of our person. Our words reveal our hearts. You remember what Adam said? The first sin of speech following the fall? What Adam says? With his mouth, revealing the pride in his heart. It's her fault. She's the blame. She gave it to me. She gave the fruit to me and I ate. Revealing the pride in his heart, the sin in his heart. You remember Isaiah standing in the presence of the holiness of God and saying, I am a man of unclean lips. He's not saying his lips are dirty, he's saying his heart is dirty. The Apostle Paul in Romans 3 talks about the whole sinful world revealing its sin through their words. Romans 3:10. None is righteous, no, not one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. What we say reveals the state of our heart, what's going on, sometimes like nothing else. But our words, according to James, look in James chapter 1 and James chapter 3, our words also lead our hearts. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And then he goes on to use the example of a bit leading a horse, a rudder leading a ship, and a spark starting a fire. This little small piece of metal leading and guiding a 1,500-pound horse. A small little rudder moving and steering a very large ship. A small spark igniting a forest fire. And he's saying, look, sometimes you start talking and your heart starts following. And sometimes it's too late. We don't have to belabor this. You can find no truth, no love everywhere, can't you? People committing perjury. We watch the TV. We look at our computers. We read. We don't know who to believe. Sort of believe the last person who spoke. And in virtual settings like blogs and Twitter and Facebook, and we could go on and on. It's so easy to sort of fudge and create an image of something that's not quite true. And certainly in personal settings, in our own conversations, what we say about people. What we say to people. Mark Twain once said, and this is so true, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. Is that not true in our virtual world? Our technological world? Well, let's talk about, secondly, truth, speaking truth. You remember the very famous, one of the most famous Hollywood courtroom scenes where Tom Cruise is getting after Jack Nicholson, and he finally, you know, with one question after the next, and Jack Nicholson being the Marine that he is, eventually sort of explodes and says, "You can't handle the truth." And I'm going to guess that this is more common with men than it is women. I probably just got myself in trouble by saying that. It's a challenge to men. I call them as I see them. I told you I loved you once. If I change my mind, I'll tell you again. I'll let you know. How about this one? Just listen to my words. When your body language is undercutting everything you just said with your words. We could go on and on. Declaring the truth without concern for people. And this often happens because we're not listening. You remember that James says in James chapter 1, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be," isn't it interesting, "quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Quick to hear. Let every person be quick to hear, like quick to slow down, quick to back up, quick to receive, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It often happens. We often do this when we're not listening. Or when we just can't be bothered to build a relationship and spend time relationally with people. At one of my previous churches, we had an editor of the local newspaper. And he was basically a nice guy, but he was a Northeastern Ivy League educated guy. And he loved to tweak Christians in the columns of his newspaper, particularly Presbyterian Christians, Reformed Christians. And he would throw these, you know, Reformed and Calvinist and predestination. And, you know, he'd throw these things out. And the local folks would just get, including me, we'd get upset and we'd start writing editorials, and we start writing to him and going back and forth. And, you know, then one of the elders in our church one day said, "I'm going to take that guy to lunch." And he did. And it completely changed everything. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, I recognize. But he was willing. He was willing to call this man, take him out to lunch, put a little bit of relational time into him. And it changed the tone and the demeanor of the paper and of our church. Because he was willing to invest in a relationship. But on the flip side of that, there's the disservice that we do to people when all we do in some kind of bubbly way is say positive things and just affirm. I'm not saying don't be encouraging, but we all need people to speak the truth into our lives, people that love us enough. Here's a challenge. I'm getting on men today because I'm a man. Here's a challenge. Men, do you have somebody in your life that when you're struggling, you're confused, things are difficult, you can go to that guy and he loves you enough and you trust him enough, he's going to be honest and you're going to take his counsel seriously? I have been blessed. When I was younger, somebody told me, Brad, make sure you do that. And I've done it. It's been an incredible blessing to me through the years. And these guys will often say, Brad, you're nuts. Or Brad, that is wrong. Or Brad, don't do that. We love you too much to encourage that. And they speak truth into my life without feeding my idols. But men and women, we all need that. We all need that. Well, our goal, isn't it, to number three, speak the truth in love. And that's the biblical balance to which this commandment points. And Paul lays it out in Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Look, we all come from different backgrounds. You know, our unity at Highlands is not that we're all alike. We all came from the same place. We're all somehow related. Our unity, what bonds us together, is Jesus Christ. And some of you, I know, let me put it this way. Do you remember the scene in profound, famous, deeply philosophical, life-changing movie, Forrest Gump? Do you remember the scene where Forrest and Jenny are walking down the road and they turn the corner? It's toward the end of the movie. If you haven't seen it, I'll explain it. They're walking down the road, they turn the corner, and she suddenly sees for the first time in years her home where she grew up. Down the dirt road, there it is. Nobody lives there anymore. It's falling down. And she walks out in front and sort of leaves Forrest behind, and she focuses on this home, this house. And she begins to weep. And she picks up one rock after another and throws rocks at this house until she collapses in tears. And Forrest comes up to her very gently and kindly and sits next to her. Remember what he says? Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. Listen, it's easy to throw rocks at your past. Some of you may come from difficult, we all have difficult situations to some degree. But maybe you're either now or in the past coming out of a situation where there wasn't a whole lot of love, there wasn't a whole lot of trust, there wasn't a whole lot of truth. And it's hard for you. It's hard for you to speak the truth in love, and it's hard for you to receive the truth in love. But if you can't find it here, I hope you can find it here. If you can't find it here, you won't find it anywhere. This is the body of Christ. we need to speak the truth in love. You will find your identity here with this family, with the church, with God's people, the body of Christ. I remember the account that C.S. Lewis gives of the loss of one of his best friends. He went into the hospital for something fairly minor, and C.S. Lewis went by to visit him, and he had died unexpectedly. And he would later write several letters and eventually a book about love, but he would make this comment shortly after his friend died. He said, "In each one of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out." And then he says, "Now that Charles is dead, I'll never see the reactions of others in our community, in our group, to something that he said, a joke that he told, or something that he read. Far from having my other friends now to myself, we're not the same. We're somehow less than we used to be. We're somehow missing something that he brought out in all of us." You know, he's saying it takes a Christian community to find your true identity. It takes a Christian community to find your true identity, even as an individual. And that's why the emphasis in this commandment of speaking the truth, not slandering, not gossiping, not giving false witness against our neighbor. Because this is where we are to find love and truth and acceptance and forgiveness and service and sacrifice and contentment and fulfillment in the body of Christ. And how destructive our words can be. Well, we all fall short, don't we? Whoever is not guilty, I encourage you to throw the first stone. I'm guilty. But it's not just a matter. I'd be doing you a great disservice if I stood up here this morning and said, "Try harder, be more disciplined. Be good. Say nice things." All those things are good, by the way. Without saying something, we can't do it on our own. Something from the outside, someone from the outside has to come in and change us. It takes a new heart to produce a new tongue. It takes the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, to change and transform our words. It takes Jesus, the truth, to bring truth from our tongues. And we're all guilty of breaking this commandment. Let me read a little section from a book I've recommended to you along the way. It's just a little thin book. I recommend it. It's written by Joy Davidman. It's called Smoke on the Mountain. It's a little interpretation of the Ten Commandments. Listen to what she says. "It is still possible that we are telling the most fundamental of lies." And again, she's talking about Christians. "It's still possible that we are telling the most fundamental of lies, that we lie to ourselves about ourselves. Not for profit or for power, but for pride. It is possible that even in the secret places of our minds and hearts, we're denying our own sins. The only way to get rid of a sin is to admit it. Without honesty, repentance and forgiveness and grace are not possible. But the Christian is the only one who doesn't have to go around all the time feeling guilty. For him, sin, this sin, is a burden he can lay down. One who denies this sin and the existence of it has to carry it forever. The way to freedom was shown to us long ago. It consists in the honest confession and repentance that alone can open our hearts to the Comforter, Jesus Christ, who never broke his word, who never wavered from the truth, who never engaged in slander or gossip, who kept every promise. You know what? He knows the real truth about you. And he knows the real truth about me. And he loves us anyway. These are burdens that we can lay down because he laid his life down. Is there a more beautiful picture than speaking the truth and in love than the cross? You know, what do we see at the cross? We see the real truth about the ugliness of sin. And we see the real truth about the beauty and love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and the lengths to which he will go to redeem us. And then what he says, the truth in love that he speaks from the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's the cross. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Let me close with this. May this be our prayer today. Psalm 19:14, be our prayer today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Lord, we have much to confess, but we lift up our hearts and we lift up our words and we confess our sin. How we have not always told the truth. We have not always loved. We have not always listened. We've not always wanted to get involved relationally. And Lord, some of us, probably all of us, have something that we need to say to someone today, even if that someone, and most importantly, if that someone is you. We pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us. We claim the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and death in our place, the shedding of blood in our place, and keeping every promise, keeping every word for us, that we might look to him, that we might trust in him, that all of our hope might be in him, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, I pray that we would go from here and that our words would please you, would glorify you, and would praise you and worship you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name.